Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Hey, welcome back to the Matt Chat. This is a show where we debate wrestling things. I gotta get those curtains, man. I get the curtains and the chairs. And then I'm going to have, I decided also, you see that little stool thing right there? Okay, then I'm going to have that with like a little ashtray and a fake burning cigarette. They always used to have that back on the old
shows.
Well,
they were real, like they were real cigarettes back then.
I can do that, but I think we both know that.
I prefer you didn't.
Right, but I'm going to have a fake cigarette with like fake little
smoke. You mean like a vape apparatus?
I don't know. I want it to look real. I want it to look like an actual cigarette.
I think the only option is a real cigarette.
And then some Matt Chat mugs. I am so going to revamp this show. It's going to be amazing. I cannot wait.
All right, cool.
Anyways, this is Matt Chat.
It's your house, your office. Utilize it how you see fit.
This is the show where we solicit our $20 patrons over there at patreon.com/Steven Larson to submit video debate topics, and then Larson and I will debate them.
Yeah.
Whether or not we actually believe them or not, which we usually then reveal at the beginning or the end. We got some great topics today.
We do.
There's some really tough questions today.
There are.
I'm very much looking forward to checking out. So, what is the first one today?
From the cat, Daryl Takahashi. Let's see what he has to say.
What's good, Steven Larson? And many friendos out there. It's the cat, Daryl Takahashi. And my debate question for Matt Chat this week is, do you feel Survivor Series, as one of the big horse shows on the WWE calendar, gets enough respect as it deserves, or do you feel it doesn't give the respect and recognition it deserves as one of the big horse shows? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, the cat.
Very interesting question. Survivor Series, yes. Does it get the respect it deserves? I don't have my notes up. I don't look the ears up. One day we're going to have to do this live, and I'll just program all the videos on there.
All right, yeah, we should do that.
It'll probably take a really long time.
We should do that.
That's what we need an intern for.
Here, get your notes up.
Where are they?
In the same folder they're always at.
Match that?
Yes.
All right. So the question is Survivor Series. Does it get the respect that it deserves? It's one of the big four. Who's going to go first? I'll go first.
Yeah, go first.
Yes. 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 Yeah, absolutely it does. So for a while... it did not. There was that period of time, and it was kind of a lengthy period of time, where, you know, the original Survivor Series idea was 5-on-5. And it was like a whole cluster, a whole mess of 5-on-5s. And who's going to be the lone survivor, what a sole survivor, whatever it was. And nobody really cared about it. I think that actually disappeared fairly quickly, didn't it? What was the last time that actually took place?
Probably mid-90s.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
that's after 8 years of the pay-per-view being in existence, though. So
yeah, I know, but you know, by the WWE, they drag out everything way too long. It's not like the sole survivor by the end ever had any significance. It wasn't like the Royal Rumble winner; they didn't get like a title shot. I mean, sometimes maybe according to storyline they did, but anyways, it is yes, right now at this moment, getting the respect it deserves. Largely, if you remember last, or I think it was 2 years ago, Dolph Ziggler did the Authority.
3 years ago.
3 years ago. Okay, that was a pretty big deal. Even then, it wasn't getting a whole lot of respect. Last year, when Brock Lesnar beat Goldberg, that was a huge...
It's the other way around.
I'm sorry, Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar in a shocking moment. That was a huge moment. That moment alone put Survivor Series back on the map. And we also had brand warfare. We had SmackDown versus Raw. This year, they're doubling down on that. We saw with SmackDown this or Raw this past week, Team SmackDown attacked Raw. We're shooting this before SmackDown airs on Tuesday. I can only assume it was reciprocated by Raw in some manner this week on SmackDown. I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. In any event, yes. The brand split, I think, was a fantastic idea, and Survivor Series is the place where they can explore like what I like to call fan service. And so, yes, absolutely. I think these days, especially now, since the big Brock Lesnar win over Goldberg last year at Survivor Series, when Brock Lesnar stunned the world and beat Goldberg, the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, Survivor Series, absolutely, it gets everything. And on top of that, when do they have NXT takeovers? It's not with TLC. It's not with Backlash or the Roadblock or whatever those bunk pay-per-views are. They have the piggyback the NXTs with the Big Four. And if I'm not mistaken, Survivor Series next month, TakeOver Houston, War Games is back.
Yeah.
I win. Next question.
No, I get to talk. Sit down. Be quiet.
I am sitting down.
Be quiet. Silent.
I am sitting
My
down.
My turn.
I'm already sitting down.
Well, if these stools are high enough, you could be crouching.
Go ahead.
No, I don't think Survivor Series is given the credit it largely deserves. It is the second oldest of the major four pay-per-view franchises, created back in 1987, and has been a mainstay of WWE's pay-per-view lineup since 1987. It has legacy. Despite that, though...
It has what?
Legacy.
Thank you.
Despite that, though, if we were to power rank...
Power. Right?
The top four pay-per-views, by and large, I think most people rank at number four, and I think that's kind of unfair. In the early days, yes, the Survivor Series gimmick was that it was the 5-on-5 elimination tag matches, and by and large, they had no stakes. That is correct. But there was novelty to it in that you got to see team-ups that you otherwise wouldn't have ever seen. You got to see Ric Flair and Razor Ramon team up for one event. You got to see HBK and Jeff Jarrett team up for an event.
Yay.
Even with that, the low-stakes matches were iconic moments in the early days. For example, the debut of The Undertaker.
Legacy.
And since then, there have been tons more iconic moments. We have the Montreal Screwjob, Survivor Series 97.
Sure.
Survivor Series 98, the greatest pay-per-view ever.
Yeah.
The Deadly Games Tournament, which saw The Rock turn heel again to capture his first WWE Championship. He had the first Elimination Chamber match. Took place at Survivor Series. And then, yes, over the last few years, they've managed to bring some importance to the traditional Survivor Series matches.
I win.
I already had these notes before I even watched the videos. Because there's stakes involved. Yeah. Team Cena versus Team Authority in 2014, which brought the debut of Sting to WWE. Iconic moment. And then starting last year, Raw versus SmackDown. Brand warfare.
What? Are you just proving my point?
No, I'm proving my point because my point is, generally speaking, people think of the big four pay-per-views. Survivor Series probably ranked fourth across the board.
Yeah, but it's big four.
I know, but I think it deserves more credit than what it's probably getting. It's not getting the respect.
Where should it be? Where would you put it?
Third.
What's fourth?
Maybe SummerSlam.
I don't know, man. SummerSlam is a big party every summer.
That's just a recent development, though. Historically speaking, it's been pretty hit or miss.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one.
So that's my basis. It's not getting the credit it necessarily deserves.
Yeah.
Because a lot of pretty iconic moments have happened at SummerSlam, Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And yes, most recently, last year, Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar in fairly shocking fashion.
Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar beat Goldberg.
So we can use the same evidence to prove different points, essentially.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me ask you this, now that we're done with our little debate points. What would be the criteria, like, you know, you sort of say in vague terms, and I say sort of in abstract terms, you know, we're the same thing. We're not sure, like, I believe it gets to the respect it deserves.
What's the criteria for everything we do?
Yeah,
Being good. Legacy.
Kayfabe. I don't know if those really apply to how people feel about Survivor Series.
Well, it should, because I feel like that criteria is pretty It's pretty foolproof.
I think my bottom line is this. I think these days people do simply because WWE has made... People will buy into whatever, you know, pay-per-view is a big deal.
Well, I think you're looking at a very small window. I'm talking about it in the full historical context of the history of the show, 30 years. Yeah, the early days.
For a long time, it didn't deserve...
Well, for a lot of... There was still, like, a majority of the show, yeah, the elimination matches. But at least as early as 92, they were having singles matches.
We can frame this question in kind of a different manner and have a different type of debate that kind of comes around to the same conclusion. Could Money in the Bank be packaged as a Big Four replacement for Survivor Series? I think a case could be made either way, given how Money in the Bank has become such a big milestone for the company every June.
Yeah.
I think that's a debate that nobody's asked us, so we're not going to debate it here, although it's a fascinating one.
Yeah, maybe next week someone will ask us that.
There you go.
You brought it up.
Let me do that. Yeah.
It may happen.
Yeah, but next up we have Michael Berry.
Well, we have two questions that are similarly themed, so we're going to join them together, play them back to back, and then we'll answer them together. First from Michael Berry, and then second from Juggernaut.
Okay.
Let's see what they have to say.
What's up, friendos? Quick question for the debate. Who should be the first person to beat Asuka? Whether that's someone in the WWE now, someone in NXT, someone that isn't even in the WWE yet, let me know.
Hey, friendos. Back at you with another video question. So, yeah, Asuka. Well, she's on Raw now. And I think it's pretty inevitable that one of these days she's going to be, like, the Raw Women's Champion. You know, all that stuff. And I don't think there's actually a bigger stage that she could actually, like, have her first loss on than WrestleMania. But my question is, which one should it be? Should it be 35 or 36? Because, you know, she can't have a perfect win-loss record her entire career. Nobody can. I mean, it's just got to happen at some time. So, when's it going to be?
Thank you, Michael Berry and Juggernaut.
Yes.
So, Asuka, recently TLC, she made her main roster debut. Yeah, little hair on my arms were sticking up. The tip of the back of my spine was tingly or something.
Goosebumps.
Thank you. It was a great moment. It was a huge moment. It felt special. She had a great match against Emma. Then she rematched on Raw. Well, not a great match, but they had decent matches. And, you know, the big question on everybody's mind is, you know, specifically, when is she going to lose? Is the WWE going to continue this win streak of hers for an extended period of time? When will she lose? Who's she going to lose to? Larson, you go first.
Okay. We often say that WWE needs long-term vision, long-term planning, and they need to let stories develop over longer periods of time. And when I look at potential long-term storytelling opportunities, I see one that's glaringly obvious, especially when it relates to Asuka and who can beat her in 2 or 3 years' time, and that is Ember Moon. They had some awesome matches in NXT. Ember Moon can never, like their first match at NXT TakeOver Orlando, Asuka cut corners, pushed the ref into the ropes, got the win that way. Second time, she just kicked out of the Eclipse, which never happens. Asuka's that awesome. So, if they were to have Asuka lose in the next 2 or 3 years, I feel like Ember Moon is the top candidate. So let's kind of do some fantasy booking here. Asuka, yes, recently debuted on Raw. She's going to dominate. She's going to beat everybody in the coming months. And by the latest, she'll hold that women's title by WrestleMania. Probably beat Alexa Bliss for it. And I kind of thought about two different options for Ember Moon, whether she wins at War Games or not. In the end, I decided, yes, she wins the NXT women's title at War Games, either vacates it or is beat by somebody. And is called up SmackDown after SummerSlam next year. And so then we have Ember Moon on one path on SmackDown, Asuka on another path on Raw. And they're both dominating their respective divisions. And some point in 2019, maybe after WrestleMania, where Ember beats somebody to retain the title, she gets in the mic and says, I've done everything I can over here. I've done everything I can in this company except for one thing. And that's beat Asuka. I want to beat Asuka. And so the storyline kicks off there, and you have a year-long build to WrestleMania 2020, which I think is WrestleMania 36, where at some point in mid to late 2019, there is a trade, a superstar shakeup. She gets sent to Raw. And then you start developing that story where she just wants to have that match with Asuka, against Asuka, because that's the last thing she needs to do to cement her own legacy. They can bring up their history in NXT, which is vast. At this point, too, in 3 years' time, they can work out the kinks in her character that are kind of hampering her a bit in NXT. So by WrestleMania 36, that's three more years, pretty much. They have a match. Ember Moon is the woman who beats Asuka, is the Raw Women's Champion.
Okay, you're wrong. The answer is Charlotte, and the answer is probably sometime in 2019. I'm going to give her all of 2018 to continue her undefeated streak because the WWE loves their undefeated streak. So I'm going to say probably 2019. Probably next year, but I'll say 2019 for the sake of argument. Your fascination with Ember Moon, I like Ember Moon. I think she's great. I think you are way overblowing her. For one thing, Ember Moon now has a wealth of talent in NXT that she has to compete with, both in getting over and in notching her way up to the top. Talent that has been signed from the Mae Young Classic and beyond. We're talking about Kairi Sane, who's already more over than Ember Moon. Ruby Riott, who's probably on par. And Nikki Cross, who I guarantee you the crowd is more over with than Ember Moon. Also, names like Jazzy Gabert could step foot in, and she will immediately be probably the most over person in the company. Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, assuming she does actually sign with the company, they will all be more over than Ember Moon.
Well, you should use the verbiage using your notes. Eclipse her as well.
Sorry, yeah, well, Eclipse.
Get it?
Well, yeah.
Eclipse.
I wrote it. There is one person who they will have beat Asuka, and that person is Charlotte. She is currently branded as the queen of the WWE. She is the alpha in the women's division, regardless of the fact that she's sort of been, I'm not even going to say misused on SmackDown, because I do think that they have placed less of an emphasis on her in order to build up other people because she's been so traditionally dominant. She has had exactly one person at her level in her history on main roster. I'm talking about Charlotte right now, and that's Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is the only person who has been booked and has been over enough to compete with Charlotte at the level, cleanly, on a level playing field. That person is Sasha Banks, nobody else. Asuka is that person who will be able to compete with Charlotte. Now, right now, they're on separate brands. That is very smart because it then allows Asuka, over time, to basically clean out the women's division in the same manner that Charlotte can clean out the women's division on SmackDown. Now, Charlotte has already lost plenty. She can continue to eat losses. I'm not sure how you can sort of keep Asuka on the road being undefeated on the main roster. I'm sure they're going to figure it out because the WWE loves their undefeated streaks. When they eventually end up on the same brand, it will be a, you know, Michael Jordan versus LeBron James type situation. You're going to have greatness versus greatness. Think about it, the branding, queen versus empress. I mean, it writes itself. They will have a true series where Charlotte will best Asuka. It'll probably be kind of akin to when Brock Lesnar beat Goldberg at Survivor Series in 15 seconds. It's going to be something like that, where it'll be their first encounter, their biggest thing, or their first encounter, hype to the moon, main event of possibly a Big Four pay-per-view, and Charlotte will get a stunning victory over Asuka in not a hard-fought bout, and then Asuka will come back, similar to the way Brock Lesnar came back against Goldberg, get another one over Charlotte, then they'll have a rubber match.
Wait, you're saying Charlotte's going to beat Asuka in 15 seconds?
Something stunning is going to happen like that. Something stunning is going to happen like that. You know, you would have said the same thing for Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. You never would have thought. That's why it's going to be so good, because it's going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. Her loss has to be something stunning, something special, something memorable, just in the same way. It might not be a squash like that. Okay, the thing about Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg, it wasn't a squash. It was Brock Lesnar being taken by surprise. It's going to be something similar to that. It might not be a 15-second so-and-so, but it's going to be something that's going to leave people shocked. Her first defeat cannot be she's getting bested by an opponent who's just as good as her. It has to be the path they had her on in NXT when she was arrogant, full of herself, overconfident. She gets taken by surprise by Charlotte. The people are absolutely stunned, and then they have a back-and-forth series where they trade victories and wins and blah, blah, blah.
I kind of feel like Asuka versus Charlotte will be more of a... because that feud will happen at some juncture.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be, you know, like the Empress versus the Queen thing. That's all good as far as marketing. But I kind of feel like it'd be more of a situation where that's the feud where Asuka cements her place as top woman in WWE.
Yeah.
As opposed to Charlotte handing her first loss.
Yeah, but they're never gonna do a thing where she's going to. Charlotte's not gonna pass any torch. Charlotte's still very.
No, I'm not trying time. To say. I almost said passing the torch, but I realized I was incorrect. But I mean, Charlotte is top dog.
They can have a Stone Cold Rock situation with these two. That's what they can have. They can have a dueling alpha dogs, if you will, situation where you can't really say, I mean, you know, people say who's the best Stone Cold during the Attitude Era, Stone Cold or The Rock. A case could be made. I think we both say Stone Cold.
Yeah.
But a case could be made for either one at any given time. So I think that's the situation we're going to have. I think Ember Moon, basically, she might have established herself at the top of the NXT pack. But that pack just got so much bigger and wider. And you got people like Kairi Sane coming in. And you got people like, you know, the people that I mentioned already. Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, if she comes in. Shayna Baszler. What is it? Shayna Baszler?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
I'm getting it. I don't really know what their plans are for her. But if they really want to try to, you know, get her buddy to come on in too for a couple matches, that's a possibility that they're going to push her to the moon. But people just like, you know, the legitimacy of Shayna Baszler. I'm learning. Anyways, but I think my thing is this. Asuka's already crossed the threshold of main roster. It could be somebody who's currently in NXT. One of your points about their the history that they already have in NXT, NXT isn't canon to main roster, and we both know.
Well, that. It is on Raw, but not really on SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. It fluctuates.
That's why I said the eventual showdown has to happen on Raw.
Yeah. And plus, they've already messed up Ember Moon's character on NXT.
Well, I'm saying they have 2.5 years to fix that on the main roster.
On the main roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe I should just have Ember Moon go straight to Raw then.
There you go. Perfect. Moving on. Who's
SmackDown
next?
Really has not done a good job with that. Next from Patrick Sparks.
Ooh, Patrick, one of my favorites.
Hey friendos, Pat here. It's been a few weeks, but I am back, and it's time to debate. So, Vince Russo and Jeff Jarrett both have done a lot of shit things in the wrestling industry, produced a lot of trash. But I want you to debate who did worse when they were lead booker, whenever they were doing it. Larson, Russo in WCW, or some of the weird stuff he did in WWF. And Steve, Jeff Jarrett, and TNA. Have fun. Tear him apart, please. Thanks. Bye, friendos.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Wow. Controversy, Larson. Controversy. Both men. I'm not going to say they both fall on hard times. Vince Russo's got a podcast. And Jeff Jarrett.
So do we.
Hey, we're doing great, though.
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Yeah, we're doing good. So, Patrick wants to talk about Jeff Jarrett. Vince
you
Russo,
go ahead, you go ahead.
Who did worse as lead booker?
Of their respective promotions, or as when they were lead booker. Jeff Jarrett and TNA, and then that'd be in the early days of TNA then.
So I have to say Jeff Jarrett did worse than Vince Russo.
Yeah. You're charged with proving that point.
Okay.
You want me to go first so you can think about it a little bit?
Well, I have to come up with the evidence. Okay. All right. I'll do this. Okay. No, I got it.
All right.
All right. I got it. Vince Russo, we can both agree, and you're about to argue, did a terrible job. Side note here. Remember the Going In Raw view we did with the Vince Russo Nitro episode? Do you know the significance? We didn't know this. Do you know the significance of that episode? That episode aired the week WWE went from USA to TNN.
Oh.
And WCW thought that was their best. And there's all sorts of speculation. I read this. Coincidentally, the latest Vintage Wrestling Observer newsletter talks all about this in the latest episode. And I was like, I'll read it. Or the latest issue.
Yeah.
That was the episode they brought out thinking that they could dole a body shot to the WWE
that didn't work out
as they moved over to TNN. they had Vince Russo, and apparently Vince Russo, according to Meltzer anyways, Vince Russo knew that he was on shaky ground, and that's why he kept putting himself in front of the camera, because he felt that, hey, if I'm a main character, they can't just get rid of me. How great is that? So, this is what happened. Vince Russo did an absolutely terrible job with WCW, and so when WCW folded, what did Jeff Jarrett do?
He started his own promotion.
He started his own promotion and basically tried to do the same thing Vince Russo did.
At one point, Vince Russo was the head creative at TNA.
That's right. But in the meantime, Jeff Jarrett basically tried to start failing WCW
Light
2.0, or Light, exactly. So what did he do? He brought in guys like Scott Hall, who had just been fired from the WWE for not being able to stay sober. He brought in Ken Shamrock, admittedly actually a pretty good acquisition, but, you know, best known for being a decent IC champion there in the WWF Attitude Era. He brought in R-Truth, a quality guy, main eventer, no, made him a main eventer. And then, of course, he would book himself to win championships.
Well, something both he and Vince Russo have in common. Then.
Exactly. So, essentially, he took the worst booking of WCW, which literally ran it in the ground, and tried to make a company around that. Although I think he tried to do it without the salaciousness of all the bikini contests and stuff that Vince Russo was so fond of. He tried to do this with the branding, the NWA branding, essentially, that had not been relevant in probably 30 years.
Since the early 90s.
Yeah, since the early 90s. And even
a good decade, at least.
Yeah. I mean, prior to WCW, I guess. So he tried to do all that. He went with stuff that already didn't work. And instead of establishing new faces, so this is 2002. I'm not sure when AJ came into the company and Samoa Joe and those guys. I feel like they didn't really hit their stride until like 2005. I mean, I guess he maybe did some good stuff. But he relied on a legacy that was long dead and would not appeal in the slightest to anybody who was a fan of the WWE product at the time, 2002, which was on a roll. They had all the talent over there. So the question is, Jeff Jarrett as a booker in TNA establishing a new company, I think he did far worse than Vince Russo, who, brought some of the Attitude Era into... Say what you will about Vince Russo. He did try to establish new blood in kickstarting, re-kickstarting WCW.
Yes, Steve, but what cost?
Go ahead.
Yes, Jeff Jarrett emulating Vince Russo Light and TNA, bad move.
Yeah.
But it's just a poor facsimile of the real thing. Here's a laundry list of things.
Oh, I love it. You did some research.
Of Vince Russo's crimes against wrestling.
Crimes against wrestling.
During his tenure as head of creative at WCW.
Read the charges, please.
First, Russo made himself champion.
Guilty.
Judy Bagwell on a forklift match.
Guilty.
Pretty much reviving pole matches in their entirety.
Guilty.
He made David Arquette champion.
Guilty.
Again, he made himself champion.
Guilty.
He put himself on TV all the time when no one wanted to see that.
Bro, guilty.
Again, he made himself champion.
Yeah.
He solidified the end of WCW with his garbage booking.
True.
I will give him credit for this.
Mm-hmm.
He elevated some new blood.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Steiner in the main event. Booker T in the main event, which was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, he made himself champion.
Yeah.
In the same time, he also elevated Jeff Jarrett to the main event.
Yeah.
So those two, Jeff Jarrett and Vince Russo, had some sort of bond, some sort of kinship that seemed to have united them from their days in WWF. So when Vince went to WCW after Jeff had already gone there, it's like they were in cahoots.
Yeah. I wonder.
And it brought about the end of the company.
I mean, there was some conspiracy theory about Vince Russo having...
This is just a fraction of the things I can list.
Having some hand in Jeff Jarrett's contract situation.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I don't know if that's true or not. I don't really care.
I mean, at the end of the day, I understand why Jeff Jarrett would think that Jeff Jarrett is money.
Yeah.
But why would Vince Russo think that Jeff Jarrett is money?
I wonder if he felt if he could tie himself to somebody who he could position in the main event status and make them untouchable. He knew he couldn't attach himself to Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, no.
He couldn't do that. Or Eric Nash. Bischoff had already done
or
that.
Or Nash or Goldberg. Or
Nash
guys,
or any of those guys. So attach yourself to whoever you can attach yourself to. Try to give them as big a rub as possible as, you know, lead creative guy.
Give them some stroke.
Give them the stroke. And then maybe that's some job security. Which, of course, flies in the face of doing what your actual job is, which is to create compelling stories and characters.
Which he really did none of,
which
for the most part.
He did absolutely none of. No, yeah, he basically killed WCW.
Well, I don't know if he was exactly the sole reason for its death, but he definitely put WCW out of his misery.
Yeah, definitely didn't help things.
No.
Yeah, the David Arquette thing and himself thing.
The David Arquette thing, when he just did it to pop ratings on an episode of Thunder.
Yeah, I know.
No one's going to watch Thunder.
No. I mean, at least I can say this. Arquette was champion for a couple weeks, I think. And Russo was champion, I think, for like a week, I want to say, if that. So, you know, I think the Arquette thing was worse, maybe. I think the thing about this, somebody on Twitter asked our good friend O'Brien Zane about this on Twitter. He said, what was worse, Russo being champion or Russo booking it? I think the David Arquette thing was worse because of this.
Well, Russo winning the championship was a fluke thing.
Well
as the match was booked, it was a fluke thing. It wasn't like he was the one that stepped out of the cage. Goldberg speared him through. It wasn't like he legitimately won.
I mean, that was a super fluke. Arquette was still flukish. But Arquette's title win was so high profile.
Yeah.
It accomplished Russo's goal.
Of putting the company on the front page of USA Today,
So everybody in hotels could see that.
Yes.
Could see that. So that was actually...
Business travelers around the country were well aware of what WCW was doing.
Exactly. That was actually a fairly high-profile thing. I don't think nobody in the mainstream knew that Russo was champion. I mean, a lot of people didn't know that Russo was champion. So I don't think that did that much harm. It's just a stain on the legacy of the title.
Yeah.
Arquette is champion, actually. You know, every wrestling fan knew that. I mean, so many people had tuned out of WCW by the time Russo won the championship that, you know, it was like, okay, big deal. Whereas, you know, you pick up, you know, you're on the road traveling because you're a salesman. You pick up you're a fan of WWF. You pick up newspaper. Man, I remember when WCW was good. Now they have a freaking actor, a comedic actor as their champion. That's garbage. I'm not going to. Whereas that wouldn't have been on the cover of USA Today if you're a business traveler.
Did Jeff Jarrett ever book a celebrity to win the world title during his run as head booker of TNA?
No, I don't think he did. I mean, yeah, you're right. You got to give credit to Jeff Jarrett at least for sticking to wrestling. And, I mean, I know I said this is a bad thing, but trying to revive, you know, arguably historically the most significant wrestling promotion in the world.
And I can understand why Jeff Jarrett, in his mind, you know, he was top guy in his dad's promotion.
You can rely on yourself.
Yeah,
you know
that
I mean?
Too.
It's the Gagne way of doing things. Vern Gagne was champion because he didn't know who was going to leave.
Yeah.
Put the belt on Hogan,
but
he might leave.
He knew he wasn't going to leave. He knew
exactly.
His son wasn't going to leave.
The Von Erichs. Put the title on one of them kids, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I can trust them. I see the logic in it. The answer probably is Vince Russo.
Oh, it's definitely Vince
but
Russo.
But it's fun to argue either way. So, there's that.
Next, we've got a question from Alexander Carenti. Let's see what Alexander has to say.
What's up, friendos? Debate question. One of my personal favorites, Edge. One of your guys' personal favorites, CM Punk. Who was better? Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you.
Showing a little bit of that manly chest hair in his video. Good to see him. I'm going to say Alexander might be our dapperest friendo on the Patreon. You'll never hear any complaints about him in the comments. I love you all. You're all great. Anyways, what was his question?
His question is
pretty simple.
Edge or CM Punk, who's better?
CM Punk. It's totally CM Punk. Here's why. Because CM Punk was just cooler. Like, he was just cooler. He was more legit. I feel like Edge has done a lot of neat things.
He has. CM Punk might have been cool, but Edge was neat.
And I like Edge. And I'm trying to articulate why. Because CM Punk was so legitimate. Came up through the indie ranks. He left everything. I mean, this is why he burnt out, because every match he put on, he left it all out there. Every match he had was great storytelling. Every promo he dropped was absolutely compelling. There's always going to be that part of me who feels like Edge was champion because there was no other true alpha around at the time. He was reliable. He was reliable, whereas CM Punk was lightning in a bottle, man. CM Punk was like the Stone Cold of his day. What are you going to start writing down?
Oh, these are my notes.
I don't know. He was just way cooler.
Pay attention to what you're doing. Take care of yourself.
He was way cooler. CM Punk was way cooler. He is one of the only guys to have Edge never had a 5-star match. CM Punk did.
He
was a better wrestler. He was just better in every respect. He was better. He was a better wrestler. He's not as decorated as Edge, but he had a longer title. Like Edge might have had way more title runs, but CM Punk had like a 460-day title run. That was a long time. He had cooler theme music than Edge. He didn't sleep with his best friend's girl that I know of.
Ooh.
He might have, but not on camera. Anyways, go ahead with
that. All right. Yeah,
Edge is good.
Edge is great. He's neat.
Not better than CM Punk, though.
Edge has won more titles than anybody else solely in WWE history. 31 titles.
That's kayfabe.
Between, yeah, that's one of the three criteria for being awesome.
Guilty.
Being good.
Okay.
Edge put on several great matches. Match against Mick Foley at WrestleMania 10 years ago, whatever it was.
For sure.
Where there's a table on fire and everything.
Yeah.
Great match.
Yeah.
The match he and Foley had with Funk and Tommy Dreamer that won the ECW One Night Stands.
Yeah.
Fantastic and bloody. You've said that CM Punk put himself on the line every match. Edge had to retire prematurely because he put himself on the line every match.
Every match.
What's the match that Edge took off?
You know why Edge retired. It's because he did all those crazy ladder spots in the first couple of years of his career. But then he had many other years where it was like, you know what?
We expect him to keep doing those same spots year after year after year.
Nah, but he just wasn't as cool as CM Punk. Anyways, continue.
Anyways, you mentioned that Edge lacked worthy contemporaries in terms of competition for a world title.
Mm-hmm.
You had John Cena.
Yeah, but I mean,
you had Batista.
On.
You had Randy Orton, Triple H towards the tail end of his run.
Yeah.
Those are all Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Who'd CM Punk have other than Cena? Del Rio.
Yeah.
So, also,
Lesnar, The Rock.
Edge did a lot of neat things.
Yeah,
of neat things. We said we'd do an episode of Count Out, filling in the 10 neat things Edge did. I can't say the same thing about CM Punk. We can't do a top 10 neat things CM Punk did. That would be as compelling as Edge.
If you were on a desert island and you had the Edge documentary or the CM Punk documentary, which would you rather have?
I wonder if I've seen the Edge documentary.
You know, I mean, the thing about the Edge documentary is that, you know, you have some potential. You're on a desert island. You need some visual stimulation.
Yeah, there you go. Life sex show.
So maybe you'd go with that.
Engaging in adultery. Not adultery because they weren't married per se, but philandering.
Yeah.
It's not exactly cool.
Hey, we're not judging anybody.
No, not really. But it's not probably the coolest thing to do.
Yeah.
That being said, as far as I know, Edge took part in the only live sex show to ever take place.
That was pretty cool.
In wrestling history, and the week after, he wanted to kick it up again and have Lita, finish him off.
Finish him off, yeah.
Get a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edge, I think, is underrated on the mic. Not up to CM Punk's level, but underrated. Really good in the ring, put on a lot of really great matches, put his body in the line for a lot of years when he probably didn't have to. But he did it because he loved the business. He wanted to entertain the fans. And because of that, remember hearing when he knew that something was wrong, where he was having matches against Batista on the house show, and he took a Batista bomb and then lost feeling in one of his arms.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. And so he knew, all right, let's get my neck checked out. Bad neck, had to retire. And at least before he got the opportunity to retire, he finally won a match at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened before. Also, I believe Edge has main evented at WrestleMania. Let me confirm that. Something CM Punk never did.
Yeah, I know, but so did, Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow. Sid main event of the WrestleMania.
Yet CM Punk never could.
I don't think you believe that's a criteria for how cool you are.
Well, it's not the question. It's how cool. It's who's better.
Would you ever argue that Sid's better than CM Punk?
No. That would be foolishness.
Exactly.
Yep, Edge main evented one WrestleMania.
What, is it the one against The Undertaker?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
24.
Who else was in that one?
Well, hold on, man.
I'm not being pussy. It was like a co-main event, though, wasn't it? What was the last match? Undertaker versus Edge?
Yeah, it was the main event. It was the last match.
Floyd Mayweather was on that one. Randy Orton versus... Oh, I had it. Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair.
That's a good match.
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing. Like, that was the real main event. Come on. How many WrestleManias of the main event was actually, like, buried in the show?
Not very many.
CM Punk, he had, I mean, you know, top three promos of all time. The pipe bomb.
Yeah.
You know? He has more iconic moments. Yeah, is Edge more decorated? Yes, absolutely. And I like Edge. But more iconic moments. That the Summer of Punk was one of the most iconic modern day. And you can't... Edge never had that iconic feud. What's the iconic feud he had?
Well, when he and Christian were a tag team, they had several iconic feuds against
the Hardys. I'm not asking about them as a tag team. That's a completely
different
sphere. I'm continuing
on. His feud against John Cena, which lasted several years, was fairly iconic.
Not iconic, though. Not iconic.
And to say that Edge didn't have an iconic moment on par with the pipe bomb is not true. Him spearing Jeff Hardy in a TLC match off the belts, that's about as iconic as it gets.
Edge is like a walking tribal tattoo. CM Punk is like cool tattoos.
Like Pepsi?
okay, you can't throw that at me. Other stuff. It's just, CM Punk was iconic. He was iconic. Even his name, CM Punk.
Edge. You think you know me. How is that?
That's super iconic. That's the most aughts energy drink name I've ever heard in my life.
Late 90s, but anyway.
CM Punk. That's great. What does CM stand for?
Chick Magnet.
Oh, how great is that? You know I'm right about this one. You think you know me.
You think you know me.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm right. Edge was cooler.
That's so not true. You so don't believe that. That's
he was a Rated R Superstar. That's
you
a great
so
nickname.
So don't believe that.
Rated
that's
R Superstar is a cool nickname.
That's so. It's a decent name.
Oh, it's cool.
Rated R. What is that crap? What about Rated X? Straight Edge Society. It's cooler to abstain from drugs and alcohol than it is to be Rated R. The Straight Edge
that
Society?
You don't believe.
Who had better merch? Oh, by a mile. By a mile, it was CM Punk. You can't even think of it. CM Punk is a top three merch guy of all time. His designs were amazing.
I just don't know. I'm not that familiar with a lot of
Edge.
Exactly. Edge's merch.
Exactly.
Well, because
Edge t-shirt.
There was a stretch in the early mid-aughts, where I didn't watch wrestling as often. I didn't see.
There was a legitimacy. There was a legitimacy to CM Punk that made him as good as he was, that made him as compelling as he was, and Edge, and so many others. I'm not singling out Edge. Mr. Crenti is. Edge lacked that. He lacked that.
We can't judge by what they have on the store now.
Well, it's this right here. Come on. That looks like an Ed Hardy design. That's terrible.
Like an Ed Hardy looks like an Affliction design.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Exactly.
Not quite as bad as
Edge is like new metal, and CM Punk is like, you know, freaking Black Flag, man. Or Living Color.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Cult of Personality. Are you kidding me?
It's a good song.
He was just so much cooler. Like, Edge is like your basic creative wrestler.
Oh,
and CM Punk is a guy you go in there in deep, and you're like, man, look at all this. Look at his Pepsi tattoo. Cobra Commander. It's true. It's totally
I will
true.
Say, I will say
the
that Edge.
Spear?
I will say Edge has had a more successful post-wrestling career than CM Punk.
Well, we can agree on that one.
There we go. One more question from A.O. Worm. Let's see what A.O. Worm has to say.
Hey, friendos, what's going on? It's your boy A.O. Worm here back with another video question. So, shout out to CM Punk Fans and Sultan for requesting Armageddon 2006. So, my debate topic is, do you think WWE will ever take Chris Benoit off the blacklist? And also, who else do you guys think that's on the blacklist should be taken off, minus CM Punk, because we all know that he shouldn't be on it. He should be welcomed back with open arms. All right, friendos, take it easy.
Thank you, A.O. Worm.
Thank you.
I'm going to say, okay, so I have the unenviable task. I almost got through that word. Of saying that, yes, he will be taken off of WWE's blacklist. Because here's the thing. I don't think that WWE is going to go out of business anytime soon. And not only do I not think they're not going to go out of business, I think that before they go out of business, they would be bought by, like, WME or something like that. You know, I think I could see possibly them being bought for a couple billion dollars 15 years from now, 20 years from now. At a certain point, it wouldn't surprise me if his in-ring career was celebrated. Because eventually, like ever is a long time. I think that's going to be my main argument here. Ever is a very long time. But then at the same time, there's so many other. No, he's
not. Here's the thing. He was really good in the ring.
Yeah.
But and he has a lot of fans.
Yeah.
But he was never Chris Benoit. Was never at that iconic level.
I know.
Never.
I know.
And what he did is terrible.
Yeah.
And that's always going to overshadow everything he ever did in the ring.
Let me ask you something. I apologize, AO Worm. There's no way out of this one. And sometimes we have questions where there's no way out of them.
Yes.
We can argue about who's better, Edge or CM Punk, and I'm sure the comments are filling up with
yes.
debate. And that's I like those kind of comments.
Yes, me too.
Healthy debate's great.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, though.
Okay.
For the sake of argument, Hulk Hogan said some absolutely despicable things and rightfully was blacklisted.
Yes.
He will probably come back at some point. It wouldn't surprise me if they trot him back out within the next 5 years. In an ambassadorial role, or at least just they bring him out because he can sell a couple tickets still.
Yeah.
If Hulk Hogan did the things that Chris Benoit did, would he ever be taken off the blacklist? Because then you're talking about a guy who is that iconic,
yeah.
who is absolutely the definition of pro wrestling.
I think the truth would remain in that. What Benoit did, if Hogan were to do it,
and I'm only saying Hogan because he's the most iconic guy.
Yeah.
If somebody at that level
did something on par with what Benoit did, those acts, I think a lot of people in my mind would overshadow whatever he did in the ring.
Yeah.
And it'd be hard to look past ultimately what he did. Anyway, celebrate what he did in the ring. It'd just be very difficult.
Yeah.
And whether, he would be blacklisted forever is, I don't know, but I can only speak personally. You know, whenever you see him, using the Hogan example, in the ring, posing,
mm-hmm.
telling people to drink their milk and eat their vitamins and think, oh, man, he did that, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
You can't sit there and just ignore all that
yeah.
and say, okay, well, what we're watching is a show and I'm going to enjoy the entertainment aspect of it. It's hard. You can't.
Some things
you can't compartmentalize.
More shocking things you can't forget.
Yep.
Like whenever I see Abdullah the Butcher, I just think of the
Hep C thing.
The Hep C thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's really difficult to get around that
yes.
stuff. I do think the answer is no. I know ever is a very long time. But I think there are certain things that you can't get around.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he's not so iconic. And I don't know if that helps or hurts him because at a certain point, if you're so iconic like Hulk Hogan and you do something like that, like if somebody as iconic as Hulk Hogan did something like something so bad that Chris Benoit did, it almost might amplify it.
Could.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then he's held, as a public figure who was on TV saying, take your vitamins, drink your milk. People can say, oh, Hulk Hogan is my role model.
Yeah.
And then he does something like that. So, yeah.
It's kind of the Cosby thing.
Yeah.
But Chris Benoit never got up to, Cosby level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he never got to that level. There are so many, I think the point is there are so many other people who, because of the talent levels and just the history of the company and how long it's been or how long the company's been around that are either at his level or far beyond it. He was a great, great wrestler, a great in-ring performer. He was never a great, fully realized character, I mean, he was kind of one note.
Yeah.
Before he did those things, I loved Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
And almost partially because he was so one note, it was like, man, I know what I'm going to get from this guy.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. But there was nothing that stood out about him so much that, like an Eddie Guerrero. Man, he not only was he great in the ring,
he was
a character.
Great with character.
He was
charismatic as
hell. He was the yep. Uncle Eddie that you wanted
yep.
at your Thanksgiving meal. I don't think he's ever going to be taken off. Now, in terms of who else on the blacklist should be taken off, who else is on? I mean, Hogan right now is on the blacklist. I think he will be taken off. Should he? If he expresses an appropriate and believable amount of contrition
mm-hmm.
for the stuff that he said and he's caught saying, and if there's the idea that, man, this guy really kind of learned a lesson.
Yes.
I mean, he had a lot of people came out in defense of him and said, I never really thought of him as that. And this is not to excuse it at all. It's unacceptable now as it is 50 years ago. But a lot of the older guys also said, of a variety of, you know, cultures, said it was so different back then, the relationships we had with each other in terms of our races. That ain't excusing anything, but there is a mindset there that has to be accepted, you know, and it's probably more difficult for some people to overcome than others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Hogan probably should, if he,
yes,
you know, XYZ.
Yes.
Who else on the blacklist, though?
Is Billy Graham on the blacklist again? He's on and off.
Boy, he, I don't know. I have no idea.
Because he was really upset about Abdul-Jabbar going in the Hall of Fame. He was really upset about that.
The WWE's on his blacklist.
Yeah, I know that.
So, I don't know.
I mean, Snuka was, but then he passed away, and then they kind of...
Would you consider the Young Bucks to be on the blacklist?
No. They would sign them in a heartbeat if they could.
CM Punk's not on their blacklist.
No.
Jeff Jarrett.
Kind of. Oh, about China.
Oh, yeah.
She should be off.
She should be off.
She should definitely be off.
Yeah, she should be off. I don't think she's necessarily, you know, a good way to check. What was the pay-per-view where she won the IC title?
No Mercy 99.
No Mercy. We're going to check this right now live on air. We're going to check to see if her, because you know how in the Benoit matches, the little chapter breaks?
Yeah.
We're going to see if she's, if her name is in a chapter break. No Mercy. Oh,
get to the network.
Go to the actual network, stupid. We're going to find out if China's name is in a chapter break. Yeah, submit, man. Come on. No Mercy.
No Mercy. That's the telltale whether you're
no Mercy
on the blacklist or not, huh?
Here we go. Pretty much, yeah. Although I haven't checked to see if they've updated.
There it is. I don't see any chapter breaks.
Come on, there's chapter breaks.
Yeah, they take a while to load sometimes. Breaks, yeah.
What the heck, chapter breaks? Well, let's just do this.
Oh, there you go. They just load up.
Yep. She's in chapter break. So China's not on the blacklist. Just, with her, I think it's specifically a
Hogan. Hogan is in the chapter breaks, I think.
Be hard to get rid of all those chapter breaks for Hulk Hogan, you know?
I know.
That'd be kind of difficult.
Like, check WrestleMania 3.
Well, let's see if we can search him also.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge thing.
Finish of his name is there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are varying degrees. There's like, it's basically a gray list.
Yeah.
What level of gray are you? Chris Benoit is black.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan is probably mid gray tone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know who else will be. They've forgiven a lot of people over the days.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for business stuff, they'll forgive pretty much anybody. That's why I think Jeff Jarrett, if they cared about Jeff Jarrett, if Jeff Jarrett was a big enough name, I'm sure they bring him back.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, they had Dixie Carter involved in...
Right?
The Kurt Angle thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if there was a business reason to get Jeff Jarrett back into the fold, they would do it.
Mm-hmm.
They thought he can make the company money.
Mm-hmm.
But yep. History's proven that doesn't happen.
Oh, anyways, that's it for Matt Chat. Again, you guys can submit your video questions at the $20 and up mark on the Patreon every month at patreon.com/StephenLarson. We welcome all the debate. You guys are up to offer. Just be kind in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.